We're nearing the end of phase one of vaccinations in Massachusetts. Governor Baker today opened vaccines to everyone in the phase one category.
We can't move fast enough to vaccinate our residents, and we're building a big vaccination infrastructure to provide convenient, safe, and equitable access to vaccines for every resident in Massachusetts, no matter where you live.
So that's big news for a vaccine rollout that has been criticized as moving too slowly. And that criticism has been especially for communities of color. Just earlier this week, over 400 medical professionals sent a letter calling on Governor Baker to prioritize vaccinations for high-risk communities of color, communities such as Chelsea. So today we're going to hear from two voices on the ground in Chelsea. It was actually a community specifically cited in the letter. Joining us now is Dinanyili Paulino, the chief operating officer of La Colaborativa, also known as the Chelsea Collaborative. That's a group that works to empower Latinx immigrants to enhance their community's social and economic health. Also joining us is Dr. Wanda Gonzalez, a pediatrician at MGH Chelsea Healthcare Center, who signed the letter. Welcome to both of you.
Oh, thank you. Happy to be here.
Thank you.
And listeners, as we talk with our neighbors in Chelsea, we want to hear from you about whether the Commonwealth is getting its priorities in the vaccine rollout right. What phase are you in? Do you think the phases are being established correctly? The governor's made some changes to who's in those phases recently. Are those good decisions? 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. So Dr. Gonzalez, I will start with you. Why did you decide to sign on to this letter?
Well, it seemed like a no-brainer to me, to be honest. I'll quote my husband when we were talking about this. You know, well, let me start first by saying, you know, I was happy to when I first heard about a huge distribution center in Gillette Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
But just the, you know, the it makes sense. It's huge. I think they were talking about, correct me if I'm wrong, about 5,000 vaccines a day.
That's the goal. The goal
that's
is to
goal.
Get to 5,000
That is the goal, indeed. But my concern was its location. You know, for, you know, someone like me or my family, well, let's say my family, since I'm a healthcare worker, I get it differently. But, you know, to go to Foxborough to receive it, it's sort of one of those, like, ugh, you know, what a drag to have to drive there. But for my patients in Chelsea, and also I'm also a physician for some people in the surrounding communities, that is quite a barrier. You know, many of them don't have cars, and they also don't work jobs that have the flexibility to take off, you know, and go over to Foxborough to get their vaccine. And when I was speaking about this with my husband, he said, well, I'm giving credit to him. He said, well, you know, when there's a fire, the fire truck, the fire department comes to the fire. You don't take the fire.
The fire department. So its proximity is one of the things that you're concerned about then, Dr. Gonzalez, is even if there isn't a vaccine available, it's not very practical if you can't get to it. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
So let me turn then to you, Dinanyili, and I hope I'm pronouncing your name right. I practiced it several times before the beginning of the show.
You are. Yes.
Good. So Chelsea Collaborative, La Colaborativa, is directly cited in this letter as an organization that the state could partner with on vaccination, assuming that means to solve the kind of problem Dr. Gonzalez was just talking about. Now, yours is not a medical organization. What role do you think you could fulfill in solving this problem?
Thank you. Thank you for helping us amplify this issue. Before I answer your question, I think that we need to understand that Black and Latino population have been disproportionately affected by COVID. Not only are their outcomes as worse, but the economic impact of COVID has also affected them more profoundly. A community impact survey found that a third of Chelsea residents owe rent and are at risk of eviction, and 8 out of 10 residents rely on food assistance. 80% of our population are considered essential workers. Our role as a nonprofit organization, obviously we are not in the medical field, just like we were not in the food industry back in as of March 5th, but we are on the ground. We have the trust of the community. What we're asking the larger community and our, you know, or state and local government is that to have a strategy to disseminate information. Once we have our people are that has been the most affected by COVID, by the disease, also because of the transportation, because you know they lived in overcrowding condition, because they have faced underlying health conditions even prior to COVID. What we're asking is that the state and local government should be working with the community members that being on the ground, that have the trust in the community, to have the education campaign. And if we want to make sure to have a recovery plan, we need to make sure that these employees are back to work. And in order for them to do that, in order for them to sustain their families, they need to be vaccinated before they get out of their house.
Okay, so there are several things there. I want to just back up. You made a reference to not being in the food business before the beginning of March. Just for our listeners' sake, I'm assuming you're referring to the fact that the Chelsea Collaborative wound up standing up massive food pantry assistance in the wake of the beginning of the pandemic. Is that correct? That's what you're referring to?
Correct, yes. We did not have a food pantry as part of our core services. We started as a pop-up serving a couple hundreds and became a couple thousand. And right now we're still serving 5 days per week and a food pantry system that, you know, that is, we're still serving Chelsea as a core, you know, community. Yep. But we have people from East Boston, Everett, Malden, Riviera, and even Lynn coming to our food line.
Which underscores your point about the disproportionate impact of the virus.
Absolutely.
Now, so then the other thing that you said, and I'll turn this back to Dr. Gonzalez, you just said, Dinyandili, that there's still some concern about people being able to get the vaccination, but also the need for a big public education campaign. And Dr. Gonzalez, we do know that people of color reasonably historically have had suspicion of the medical community and may be reticent to take this vaccine. When you hear 80% of Chelsea's workers are essential, living in high-density population, what's that education campaign look like that increases people's likelihood of embracing the vaccine?
Is this a question for me or?
Yeah, this is for you.
Yes. Okay. Well, you know, I think Dinyandili says, you know, made a good point about, you know, we need people in Chelsea who have the trust of the community. So the way I see it, to gain their trust and to educate them about the vaccine and to encourage those who are, are next up for the vaccine to get it, it's really engaging them, I believe, on multiple levels. You know, there is the community-wide level that the Chelsea Collaborative can have. You know, the Chelsea Collaborative has been in the community for years. These are workers that the community knows and trusts. And then there's also the trust that comes from the patient-doctor relationship. You know, myself and many of my colleagues have been working here for years and years. And so we, you know, I can encourage on more of a micro level, one-on-one, engage my patients. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, it's already coming up, the story of vaccines. So once again, I'm a pediatrician, so my direct patients are not yet in line for vaccines. It has not yet been approved for the majority of my patients. However, as a pediatrician working in Chelsea, I consider the whole family in some ways my patients, and I know a lot about their parents as well. And so when I say my patients, I'm also talking about their parents. And
sure.
I have already engaged with them in terms of discussion about, well, what is this COVID vaccine? I've had patients coming in and immediately tell the secretaries, well, I'm not getting the COVID vaccine. You know, walking in and, you know, already putting up that front when, you know, as you know, it's not yet available as we hope. And so so to gain their trust, it's more on a one-on-one level of people that know, including their pediatricians, our nurses, the medical assistants, to try to explain to them, you know, what are these vaccines that came on so quickly? How can we trust them? How do we know that? I my own methods, and I'm already talking to them about the COVID vaccines because I'm very used to talk about vaccines in general, is I go from a personal level, but, you know, I'll tell them that, yes, I've received it. As soon as my family's eligible, they will receive it. So I talk about that. I tell my patients I would not recommend a treatment for you that I wouldn't take myself. And on another level, you know, depending on, you know, what level of engagement I have with the family, I will, you know, basically give them a simple lesson in, you know, basic vaccine, you know, immunology. And, okay. And I use analogies. I try to make it simple to help them understand.
What would be an analogy briefly that you would use?
Okay. I had one I used recently. I address this specifically to the two vaccines that are out there currently, the Pfizer and the Moderna. Mm-hmm. As you may mm-hmm. have heard, they're mRNA vaccines, and it's the mRNA is basically the instructions, the specific instructions to make the spike protein. The spike protein, when you see a COVID, you know, a drawing of the COVID germ, the coronavirus.
The ball with all those little spiky things sticking out.
The little spiky things, yes. So what I tell the patients is just think about the coronavirus as being a burglar. And the spike protein is their hand or their arm. And they need that hand to get into your house, right? Mm-hmm. Without the hand, they cannot get into your house. And once they get into your house, the rest of their body does the damage. So I compare mm-hmm. the spike protein to their hand, and I said the vaccine is sort of like, you know, we give you the instructions, we give the house the instructions on how to make a copy of that hand. And the house makes a copy of the hand, figures out the best way to defend against it, but there's no actual burglar in the house. It's just a hand.
Gotcha. Right.
And
right.
Then, yeah.
And I imagine that does, yes, resonate with people.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry to interrupt you there. I do want to go back to Dina Nyili for a minute. So I want to come back to the letter for just a second, because I want to make sure our listeners are clear. As the phases of the vaccine rollout stand right now, beginning in phase two, the governor says that the Commonwealth is reserving 20% of doses from there on out for high-risk communities, or what the letter called hotspot communities. So mm-hmm. it doesn't sound like that you feel like that's enough. Is that a concern about when that 20% is available, the distribution plan isn't there, or is this an argument that 20% of doses needs to be available sooner?
Yeah, and if you allow me to go back to your previous question, I think that we need
sure,
to
sure.
be very careful that not to say that Latinos don't want to be vaccinated. I mean, more than 70% of the population in Chelsea are Latinx and/or Latinx immigrant first and second generation. We are used to being vaccinated in our, the Caribbean and in Central South America. Is that we're talking about the level of the trust level between the community and the government. We have been a community that has been forgotten for decades, and we cannot be, when we're talking about Black and Latinos or Latinx, we need to make sure that we are not putting those two communities as a one strategy. We need to make sure that they are different strategy to what best work for our community. You know, I do not think that it's enough when, once again, if you look at the percentage of workers that have lost their job or have their hours being reduced, including the community and the families that are not able to collect unemployment or any type of benefit because they are undocumented, they are in need to immediate need to get out of the home, to put a check on their pocket to make sure that they're able to sustain a roof over their head and a plate on the table and to feed their children. This is why I think that we cannot use a profession, and treat everybody, as communities as equal. We need to look this as a region that has been most impacted based on all the underlying conditions that that may affect the families and that particular community. So I do think that needs to be considered. And when we talk about, having a strategy in a wraparound, culturally competent, information, the community. I'm not talking just about, translating the information into Spanish. I'm talking about, making sure that people are on the ground disseminating this information, that, we collaborate with, we have fantastic hospitals around us that can actually, deploy, outreach workers, healthcare workers to work with us in the community. And once again, it's not just about the vaccine, is one step at making the community healthy again. you know, there are other elements. It's making sure that they have food, they have a house, and they have a job. In order for them to get those three things and to become more dependent, they need to get a vaccine.
All right. We'll look forward to talking with both of you again in the future as we continue to watch how the vaccine rollout goes. That's Dinanyili Paulino, the Chief Operating Officer of La Colaborativa, and Dr. Wanda Gonzalez, a pediatrician at MGH Chelsea Healthcare Center, who signed the letter this week calling on the Baker administration to step up its prioritization of at-risk communities. Thanks to both of you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Happy to speak with you. Thank you for having me.